When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays. The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
I'm trying to think of like what I would compare this to in terms of moves that are so readily popular among the entire fan base, especially at a time when it's really needed. Go to some of the other organizations that are doing well now or have recently, and the people in charge that have been really good hires, from a Steve Kerr to a Kyle Shanahan / John Lynch. Even a Mike Dunleavy Jr. coming in as the general manager to replace Bob Myers. Up and down the line, none of those were just 100% well received right in that moment. This was one of those situations where it was like, we're moving on. We're not even going to go through the process of like, all right, here's what we're looking for. Bang. 2 minutes after Farhan is out, Buster is in. And you're not going to find one Giants fan who isn't thrilled. Not one.
Right, because you don't have to be thrilled right now by what he does as president of baseball ops, the PBOP. You don't have to be thrilled right now because he hasn't done anything and he can't do anything. All you need to know right now is a guy that you didn't like, Farhan Zaidi, and I'm speaking for the majority of the fan base, is replaced by a guy not only do you like, not only do you love him, you revere him. So right now, on September 30th, as we head into October 1st, and I know tomorrow is the introductory presser, and you're going to be there, and I look forward to, let's go to Mark in the back.
We'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see.
No, you'll get one in there.
Yeah, feel it out.
I know, but you'll be there.
You got to get there on time, too.
And you're going to report back on what you see, but between now and the winter meetings, this cannot be anything other than an absolute slam dunk, and this kind of reminds me of free donuts in the office, and we have them today. Mm-hmm. And you know, you eat one and you eat two and you might eat a third, and it's not until about an hour and a half later where the tummy ache hits. And so right now I'm coming off a maple glazed and it was good, and I may run it back with one of those cherry filled yum yums.
Don't have a third dog. That's just a bad choice.
Well,
just don't do that. But don't do that.
My point is, in the short term, it's pure sugary bliss, which is where we are with Buster Posey.
It's like signing Jorge Soler to $42 million over 3 years. Don't do that. Don't do that.
Yeah.
One at a time. Do a 1+1, okay?
Yeah.
1+1, one donut option for a second, and then that's it. Please, listen to your body.
No, I'm good. And I'm going to be one and done, like Drexel in the NCAA tournament. I am one and done, but that's where we are with Buster, where right now, it is, I mean, the tub of ice cream is a pretty good analogy because you get through, even like the pint, you get the pint of your favorite Ben and Jerry's and you're not going to eat the whole thing. And you get halfway through and you go, ah, the hell with it. I'm eating the whole thing. And you will eventually pay for it.
I'm going to push back on your idea that Buster hasn't done anything yet. I disagree. I think Buster...
He represents something that's been done.
I don't think the stories that we read in recent weeks were an accident.
Him signing Matt Chapman,
correct,
for example. Yep, that's fair.
Like, who do you think was operating as president of baseball ops? Let me ask you this. You think Farhan found out today?
Oh, no.
No.
And was it a week ago where the reports were that he spoke and he was like, well, you know, I kind of did what I did. I did my best, and it was almost like
Thursday. I think it was Thursday of last week.
That recent? Okay.
Yeah. Where he admitted that he knew that he was under evaluation.
Right. Evaluation. That's exactly the word.
Yep. Come on. The organization had no choice. None. Like, just for a second, you can bask in the glow of this. Just imagine for a moment if the announcement had been the opposite today. What do you think would be happening on this radio station right now? The Giants have announced tomorrow is the press conference, the end of the year press conference. It will be operated by Farhan Zaidi. He is back for another year. That doesn't even an option. It's not even an option, is it?
No. It would be irate fan base. It would be, I mean, can you imagine the amount of people who would, I don't know, cancel their season tickets as opposed to people who are now looking to re-up or get back in?
You know, and again, I said this on the crossover, doesn't really matter if this doesn't land well today, but the bottom line is, he's the boss. You get the president label. So you're going to have to sort of answer for whatever happens, and what has happened on the field is nowhere near good enough. But he ain't acting alone. The organization is way bigger than just Farhan Zaidi, and it will continue to be way bigger than just Buster Posey. And that's where I still remain concerned today. I still do, because I still have not seen really much of anything from this current ownership group that makes me feel like things are being well thought out all the way up at the top of the building. Except for this.
Right.
This is literally the first thing, and I'd argue that this was a 2-foot putt. Some of us didn't even know that this was an option. I didn't know what Buster, quote-unquote, wanted to do. I knew he was here as part of the ownership group. What you see unfold over the last 3-4 weeks makes you go, oh, okay, Buster's getting his hands dirty. That's a good thing. Once that happens, this is a 2-foot putt. Who the hell would miss this? I didn't know this was an option. I mean, we all pretty much felt strongly. I just looked at it. You know this. I sent a text to our group at 7 o'clock this morning. Says Victory Monday, but let's be ready. This is probably going to be the last day for Farhan Zaidi. I had no idea that it was going to be Buster. Did you have any inkling that that was going to be the replacement for Farhan?
I had no sense. I thought that it would be Farhan today. Tomorrow would have been, you know, Greg Johnson and Bo Mel, and it would have been, you know, we're going to have an exhaustive search. We're going to find the right person. We're going to leave no stone unturned, Mark, to find somebody to turn this thing around, because we know that this is unacceptable. And instead it was Farhan out, Buster in. Buster, don't mind that the seat is still kind of warm. Go ahead and plop yourself down there and be ready for tomorrow. That part of it is shocking.
Totally.
You and I talked about it on Friday, and even as a group, we all said, like, man, Monday, it looks like the Niners should win. And, you know, Warriors media day. And keep in mind, the Farhan stuff might also drop. And I was all, you know, we all were kind of like thinking, wouldn't it be cool if it was Wednesday when they decided that? That way it's a nice soft spot in all of our schedule, but life doesn't work that way.
No, but they couldn't. They couldn't like this.
No, they couldn't.
And,
you're right.
And Giants fans, I wonder if you feel like there's a couple different ways to feel about this. But you largely did this. Like your behavior, your dollar, you're what drove this. And I do think in this particular case, that's a very, very good thing. That's a powerful thing. But I do wonder, do you feel like it was done a little too late? Or do you feel like it was kind of right on time? You know, I go back to last year when that was the first question that Farhan had to receive at the press conference, which was, why only Gabe? Why only Gabe? You hired Gabe. You guys came here. Why only Gabe? And he answered that question. And now it turns out it sort of feels like it was a wasted year.
Yes and no. I mean, wasted year, I don't know. I think that he sold them on the fact that he deserved a chance to do it the way that they all wanted to do it, which was spend and see what the young guys could do. And so they spent and they saw what the young guys could do. And when they spent, your center fielder had his arm fall off in the end of April, and your top flight pitcher wasn't worth a damn until mid-June, and your DH slugger wasn't much of a slugger, so you dealt him, and the young guys, well, they were a little bit hit and miss. So I do think that he was given a chance to, he sold them on what the plan was, and they said, all right, go do it. And he tried to do it, and it didn't work.
I don't know if I believe that anymore. I don't know if I fully believe that anymore. I know that's what he told us. I don't know that I fully believe that anymore.
What do you think happened then? That the ownership just said, we've got no better candidate, and Buster's still unpacking boxes, so let's go ahead and give him one more year, and Buster, you go ahead and get loose in the bullpen just in case.
Kind of. Yeah. Not just in case. I think it's more a conversation with Buster. Hey, Buster, now? And Buster's like, not yet. Not yet. Let me continue to work behind the scenes for another year. Let me learn a little bit more about this position, and let's see if we can. Because look at the philosophy shift. Look at what happened. That was not the same Farhan Zaidi. He went out, started doling out 3 years to Jorge Soler, and 5 years to Jung Hoo Lee. And let's get two of the Boris Four. Not one, let's get two. And I know they were short deals, but they were expensive deals. Matt Chapman and Blake Snell, he went out and spent money, and a bunch of free agents said yes. That's not what we've been dealing with Farhan. And so I wonder if obviously they got to him and said, we've got to try this a different way. But Buster just sat and said, let's observe. Let's observe for one more year and then see where we're at. And that gives Buster the time. And I don't know that, to what level this is true. I'm speculating to a degree. But again, I go back to we should have known. The second he moved here, I got to tell you, I go back to that day. I was like, really? I was shocked that Buster Posey, a Georgia guy who wouldn't even stay out here for COVID, because of two young kids at home.
Yeah, skip the year.
And,
good call.
And has been living in Georgia his whole life except for being a Giant. And then all of a sudden he retires, and a year later he packs up the four kids and goes to Lafayette. Like, we should have known right then that Buster was going to be a day-to-day guy.
Yes, but
that's how I feel.
Okay, then I think back to his comments from the Andy Baggley article last December when he'd already come out here. And he said, something that's noteworthy that keeps popping up from players and their wives is there's a bit of an uneasiness with the city itself as far as with crime and with drugs. He said to Andy Baggerly in The Athletic, whether yep. it's fair or not, perception's reality. It's a frustrating cycle. Baseball is secondary to life and the important things. But as far as a free agent pursuit goes, I've seen that it does affect things. And so when he says that, that told me at the time, like, he's either out of touch or not really interested in the day-to-day, because if you're going to take the job that he's now taken, I wonder if he looks back at those comments and regrets it, because those are things that he's now going to have to confront.
Well, he's going to have to confront. If he regrets them, he probably already regrets them. I look at those comments and I think less about sort of what he's saying, and I think more of that he said it. That was my issue with it back then. Like, he's the one talking to free agents. He's the one there. If that's what people are feeling, then that's what people are feeling. What bothered me about it is that he said it to Andy Baggerly.
Yeah.
And made it public. Because to me, that gives it credence. Is he trying to fight that by, like, well, let's move to the Bay Area. Like, I'm a Georgia boy. I'm a Moon. I know he lives in Lafayette. But that's kind of the point. Oh, they all live in Lafayette. None of these guys. Austin Slater was, of course, one of the rare exceptions. To think that these players are coming out here to live in a high rise, right? Just south of Market. Like, come on, that's not what San Francisco Giants and their salaries are largely doing. Maybe some of the young guys who are just coming up, maybe, but that's not what Giants are doing. So this whole narrative never made sense for a thousand reasons. Simply the fact that he said it publicly, I mean, that'd be an interesting question tomorrow.
Yeah.
Do you regret saying that publicly? I don't know.
Think that this is a challenge that you're going to have to face now as president of baseball operations, where this is a thing that you said not even a year ago, and now as the president of baseball ops, you're going to have to confront this reality? How do you go about combating this perception that you said is a real perception?
Yeah, but he said it, and then the very following year, four big free agents said yes.
Right.
And Blake Snell was asked the question, and he's like, like, I don't even know what city I'm in. I don't care.
Exactly.
I don't care what city I'm in.
And Chapman lived here, and Jung-Hoo Lee was, you know, coming from Korea. So.
Yeah, and Chapman obviously was dying to stay. A Boris client who signed before the year even ended? He had no interest in leaving.
Yeah, and Soler left, and, you know, Snell looks like he's going to leave. It seems that he's going to opt out.
Well, he's definitely going to opt out. I don't know that he's going to leave, but probably. Yeah.
I don't know. That will be an interesting one, and Buster won't answer that tomorrow, but that's going to be one to watch.
Why not?
Because if he, like, do you have any interest in re-signing Blake Snell?
What's your interest level in bringing back Blake Snell?
I'm sure the interest level is going to be fairly high because he's a really good pitcher.
Let's hear what he says.
Yeah.
You can gather things from that, right?
Right.
You can sort of like the way they answer it. You could always tell with Farhan when he would be like, well, there will be some discussions. That's a no.
Yeah.
There will be some discussions. That's a no. If the interest level is incredibly high and we are already talking, that's a maybe. That's a maybe. And then if you hear nothing at all, that's a yes.
Yeah.
Like Matt Chapman. Let's go to Douglas in Sunnyvale. Hi, Douglas. Thanks for calling Willard and Dibbs. What's up?
Hey, gentlemen, I just had an idea for you to consider. I don't know if you saw it in the news recently, but Buster just bought a huge ranch
Yes.
up in Northern California.
That's correct.
Okay. So, you know, not every player comes from Anaheim or Irvine.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays. The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Lots of players like to hunt, they like to fish, they like to swim in streams with their family. Here, this is all tied to moving back here. He moved back here and got a house, and then he moved back here and got an estate that's not, he doesn't have to manage. It's managed by the state of California because it's a historic property. He just owns it. It's kind of like the Hearst Castle. So, it's managed by the state, but all the Hearst family can go enjoy it.
So what are you getting
this
at?
This is recruiting. It's not just the city. It's Northern California. It's where everybody in the world wants to live. It's Silicon Valley. It's Stanford and UC Berkeley. It's skiing one time in the afternoon, and then in the morning you go surfing. I mean, this is the most vital place in the entire planet. That's what he has to sell. Of course he'd come back to sell that. Come on.
Well, see, Douglas, here's what I'd say. Thank you, Douglas, so much for calling. I have a hard time answering this because I never bought the narrative to begin with. Now, if they're saying that they deal with that, then they deal with that. And I have zero doubt, because we've all seen it, there are plenty of people in this country who, when they think Bay Area right now, they immediately go to, well, I saw on Fox News that it's a mess. Great. Good for you. Those people aren't changing their mind.
Right.
But outside of that, it's absolute lunacy to think that the Giants are at some sort of competitive disadvantage because they can't sell their franchise. If you come up with the most money and you look like an organization that's a winner, and you have good players and offer a chance to win, people will come, Ray. People will most definitely come.
Unless they are so dead set against living in California for all of the various reasons. If you are somebody who doesn't believe in certain amount of equality or gender equity, or, you know, the liberal lifestyle that is pervasive out here. If you're somebody who's really turned off by that, you're right, Mark. You're not coming here. You're looking for Texas or Georgia or other places where those mentalities are not so pervasive.
Yeah, I also think, though, that just like anybody else, like if you make $20 million a year, you could tuck yourself away from anything. You could tuck yourself away from anything. You think for some of these salaries, they've got to face all of that? If that's not the way they look at things or not what they want to surround themselves
probably
with.
Probably not, but if you're making 20, then you could probably make 20 somewhere else or 19 somewhere else and not have to pay California state taxes. There's ways to...
Of course.
I mean, if you're that level of player, you're going to pick and choose based on more than just the amount of money you can make.
Steve-O is in the city, and next up on Willard and Dibs. Hey, Steve-O, what's up?
Hey, guys, thanks so much for taking my call. Love the show. I listen all the time, so thanks so much. You know, it's not so much about the comment itself, because it's not some revelation that people, you know, try to put this stigma on San Francisco. It's got a, you know, it's got problems like many other cities, maybe some more than others. But the bottom line is, it's just not as bad as people make it out to be. And Buster didn't have a full-throated defense to follow up his comment. So it's one thing to make the comment. It's another thing to make the comment and just kind of throw your hands up in the air and be like, well, I guess that's just the way it is. And that's what it felt like to me. You know, he stayed in the city for a dozen years or more. So, you know, he found some kind of love for this. Part of the nation that he came back. And I think there are a lot of other players that see the beauty of Northern California, kind of like what the last caller said. Most of them don't even live in the city. So we've got to have a follow-up narrative to this kind of stereotype that people are trying to put on San Francisco.
Well, Steve-O, thanks. I just, for the life of me, and you know, here we are on this subject again, I don't even understand it. You cannot tell me that 90%, if not more, of professional athletes don't simply take the best offer. That's it. They take the best offer. Sure, could certain places sort of be like complete? Well, that's a hard no. I don't even want to talk to them.
Of course.
If you're a super established player, and let's say you're married, you have a family, and the family's like, that's out. Like, I don't even want to look at that. I'm sure that that does happen on certain levels. But bottom line, come on. None of you care about the $2 million free agent. What we're really talking about here is the $200, $300 million guy. You think that dude is like not going to just take the best offer? That dude takes the best offer.
But if it's a competitive offer, then it comes down to other factors. And one of those factors, forget the city and whether or not you think it's drug-addled or safe or too liberal or the rest of it. It comes down to a winning culture and a winning team. And you look at Shohei Ohtani, and if the Giants offered him the same sort of a deal and he went to L.A. for the Dodgers, it's because they're a winning team.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays. The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.